Amen. Church, go ahead and take a seat, and would you bow your head in prayer with me? Thank you. Father, we do just come before you now, and we bow before your presence, before your great and good and holy name. Lord, we believe you are a great Savior, and we thank you. We honor you this morning. We pray that you would teach us to set our minds on the Spirit, to set our minds on you, Lord, and so we could experience life in peace in our lives. So help us in all this, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you on this beautiful morning. What an amazing couple days this is. Isn't it refreshing? Yes, you don't look refreshed right now. You know, I'm not feeling that vibe from you, but we'll get there. Yeah, right. Yeah, I get it. Well, hey, first of all, I just want to say thank you for your prayers, your service, the invitations this last Easter weekend. Through our services in person and online, we connected with over 700 people this Easter season, and we're able to share the goodness and the love of Christ. So thank you for that. Thank you for just being people who God can work through to bring the good news of Jesus to others. So I appreciate that so much. And today we're starting a new sermon series called The Life-Giving Mind. The Life-Giving Mind. Does anyone want more life in peace in their mental world? Anybody? Yeah, I do too. And I don't know about you, but the hardest battles I face in life are not with other people. They're with myself. They're with my own thinking, right? I can turn good circumstances into really bad ones in my own mind. And I can totally not enjoy something for no good reason other than my broken mind. Anybody with me on that? And it's a battle. And interesting, the scriptures have a tremendous amount to say about this. And we're going to dig into that because I believe this is probably a season where all of us could be healthier in our minds. And I'm not going to talk to you from a psychological point of view. I'm not going to talk to you from a clinical point of view. That's not my qualifications or what I'm here to do. But I would say if you feel like you're in a really dark place, reach out for help. Because sometimes God's help, church, it comes through doctors. It comes through professionals. And as far as a Christ, man, I want to be open to all the ways that God can help me be healthier and whole. You with me on that? And I know that sometimes maybe there's this weird stigma or shame about that. So I just want to say, hey, get help if you feel like you need it. And don't be ashamed. I see a counselor almost every week. I'll see him every week, but sometimes our schedules don't align. And I'll tell you what, it's been super healthy for me. And you know, if you feel like you're in that point, I just want to say get help. But I do want to talk about the spiritual resources for the life of the mind. And I want to look at what the scriptures have to say about those realities. I nearly lost my mind this weekend. Allie, I'm not kidding. Allie, one of her best friends from high school got married last night, and she got married in Florida. Can't do it in Cleveland, got to do it in Florida. So that means your boy is home with the two girls this weekend. You know, yeah, that's a challenge enough right there. And so Friday night, everything was going fine, and I put Emery, my three-year-old, and Abigail are almost turning one soon to bed, and you know, it was all fine. And then I hear some rustling in Emery's room, and I'm like, this just doesn't seem quite right. So I went to investigate, and I walk in her room, and there is throw up all over her bed, church. Yeah. And she's sleeping in it. And so I'm like, wow. Yeah. So I, Holy Spirit, just guard my mouth and my thoughts today. Help me. So I pick her up, I pull her out of the bed, and I start to, you know, get all the sheets and stuff to throw in. And then she just starts throwing up everywhere in her room. And then I run to the bathroom, and it's still going. Some of you, you know how this goes. Yeah. So then that was the rest of the night, church. That was the rest of the night. But God got us through. Thank God. My parents came the next day and helped me. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Grandparents are superheroes from God. But yeah, I almost lost it. But we all face moments, right? And sometimes it's not even the big things that happen. Sometimes it's the accumulation of the small things in our life. And in preparation for this series, I've been reading this book called Designing the Mind by Ryan Bush. It's a really interesting read. But he said that our thought patterns are like algorithms. And we have experiences in life, and then they go right into an algorithm. And sometimes our algorithms are healthy and we navigate it well, but sometimes our algorithms are unhealthy, but the trouble is we don't even realize that they're there. And they've never quite been questioned or challenged. And so he talks about learning to write new algorithms in our minds. And I thought that was kind of a cool way to think about it. I like the metaphor of that. And we're going to see today, we're going to dive into Romans chapter 8. And the Apostle Paul is going to say there's basically two algorithms in the human mind. One is the mind that he's going to say set on the flesh, and the other is the mind set on the spirit. And his big idea is that when the mind is set on the flesh, when the main algorithm is fleshly, it produces death. It breaks things down. It hurts us. It moves us backwards, not forwards. But when the algorithm is the spirit, and we're going to talk about what this means, when the algorithm is the spirit, he says it creates life and peace. Our minds become places that are life-giving and peace-producing, which sounds pretty good to me. So let's dig into this. These next several weeks, we're just going to camp in Romans chapter 8. If you've never read this chapter, I want to encourage you to read it. It is, many people call it the Mount Everest of the New Testament. It is just an unbelievable chapter in the Bible. The whole book of Romans is unbelievable. Great place to start reading this week with us, but let's begin. We're going to look at the first 8 verses today. Here's how it begins. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. If you have a Bible, underline verse 6. I believe that is the main point of all of Romans 8. That all of Romans 8 is built on this concept. The mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, I know there's a lot in there, and maybe just if this is the first time you're hearing this, this might all sound a little bit confusing and hard to follow Paul's argument, but I want to break it down as best I can for us today, because I believe these ideas are transforming in our lives. Now, the context of the book of Romans, the whole book of Romans, is about the power of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul writes, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power of God. Do you know the most powerful force in this world is not nuclear? It's not a weapon at all. It's not a missile. It's not anything that man has created. But the power of God exists, is expressed, is at work in people's lives through the message of the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus. is what we talked about last Sunday, is what we try to talk about every Sunday, who Jesus is, what he did, what that means for your relationship with God, our relationship with each other, and our relationship with the world, and how through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, everything has been transformed through that action. And when that message, when it really gets into the human soul, the power of God begins to get unleashed. And so the book of Romans is about understanding how that happens, why that happens, and what that looks like. And if you read the chapter right before this, chapter 7, it's one of the most encouraging chapters in the Bible because the Apostle Paul, he writes in it and he just talks really vulnerably. He's like, the very things I want to do, I don't do. You ever felt like that before? I know I should do it. No one has to convince me on this. I just can't do it. I'm just not going to do it. He says, and sometimes the things I don't want to do, I do. Or he's like, no, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Why am I being pulled into this? Don't do this. Oh my gosh, I did it. What happened? And he talks about this human reality. And so he's saying, like, where's the power of God at work in my life? Why am I like this? Why do I struggle like this? And I read that and I'm like, thank you, Paul. I feel so much better about myself. Because I'm right there with you, man. And if you're Paul, that makes me feel a lot better. Because I'm not Paul. I'm not penning any New Testament books or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? And so Paul says, how do we break out of this cycle in our spirits, in our minds? And we get to Romans 8. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So today I want to explain what the flesh is, what the mindset on the flesh. I want to try and paint a picture of that for you, what the mindset on the Spirit is. I want to begin to paint a picture of that and how we can begin today. This is a long conversation. I'm not going to be able to explain all of this today, but I want to at least bring an introduction. I want to get us familiar with these ideas. So let's begin by talking about the flesh. Let's talk about the negative first. The mindset on the flesh is death. So can we all agree that's not what we want to do? I want to stay away from that. So what does that look like? And when you hear that term flesh, you might think of your body, you know, your skin and your muscles and your bones and all of that. And in times past in Christian history, Christians have thought that. And so they've beaten their bodies. They've starved their bodies. They've tried to just like master their bodies, thinking that it would transform them spiritually. And guess what? It didn't fully work. Because that's not the flesh that Paul's talking about. Now, a certain level of physical discipline, I think, is healthy and good, and there's benefits and all that, but that's not the core of the flesh. That's just a word Paul's using. Here's what our flesh is, church, and don't miss this. The flesh is the part of you and the part of me, it exists in all of us, that rejects the love of God offered to you through the gospel. Did y'all hear that? You can't miss this part. That's what the flesh is. It's the part of you that hears, knows the truths of the gospel, and it pushes up against it. It pushes back. It cannot accept them. It cannot fully integrate them. It's a part that's always pushing about. See, when we hear the flesh, we read about like the deeds of the flesh and what it produces in our life. But we have to first understand the mindset of the flesh, and it's a rejection of the love of God through the gospel. And that's why Paul elaborates in these verses. He rehearses the gospel. He says, what the law couldn't do, weakened by the flesh, God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of law might be fulfilled in us. So what Paul's saying here is that the message of the gospel is what the flesh will always reject. And as we reject that, it produces brokenness in our lives. See, we think the greatest problem in our life might be some bad habit that we have, right? Like you think the thing is some fun, you know, some issue, some practice, maybe we can't control our mouth, and we think like those are our biggest problems. But for the Apostle Paul, our biggest problem is not fully receiving and integrating the reality of the message of Jesus into our soul, where it becomes the algorithm of our hearts and minds. You with me on this, church? For Paul, that's the issue. And all the other things in our life that we try to cut out at the behavioral level, those are just the branches. But the root has to deal with the gospel. And the mindset on the flesh is one that is rejecting it, that isn't maybe understanding it, that isn't bringing it into our own life. And Paul says what it ends up doing is when our mind is set on the flesh, we end up just ultimately rejecting God. We move away from Him. We don't want to be close to Him. Our relationship with Him moves in the wrong way. So let me try and paint a picture of this for you this morning to make it maybe a little less abstract and more concrete. What does the mindset of the flesh look like? And here I just kind of put a list together that maybe will help us clear it up. But I think fundamentally the mindset of the flesh is where I'm engaged in some self-salvation project. See, all this talk about the law, it's about taking salvation into our own hands and justifying ourselves rather than receiving the justification that's offered through Jesus Christ in the message of the gospel. See, all of us as human beings, we know deep in our soul that we need to be saved. I believe this is a fundamental human reality. Now, we might not know what we need to be saved from. We don't know how that process happens, but we know there's a need there. We know something's not right, and it's deep, and it's real, and it's an issue. But when we're not living with the mindset on the Spirit, we will engage in a self-salvation project. We don't think about it that way. But why are some people so overly committed to their career? Because it's a self-salvation project. This is how, why do people get in terrible, unhealthy relationships? And you're like, hey, this is not good for you. Like, this is obvious. I don't even have to be Dr. Phil to know this. Like, get out of this. And they can't because maybe it's a self-salvation project. We all will. If Jesus isn't the Savior of our lives, we will make ourselves or something else a Savior. Because you and I all know at the level of the heart that we need one. And the flesh chooses the wrong one. We live with comparison. Paul, you'll see, talks about the law a lot. And whenever you're in a law mindset, here's what you're doing. You're comparing yourself to others. How am I doing? I'm doing a lot better than those people. And you get a little puffed up. Or maybe you see those people, you're like, wow, they're doing way better than me. And you fall into despair. But either way, it's a comparison game. And either way, we're looking to someone else, to other standards as a benchmark for our value, or even worse, the love of God for us. And the flesh leads us into comparison. Here's the next couple. Voices of accusation. Notice how Romans 8:1 begins. This is a voice of God. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. Is that not one of the most beautiful verses in all the Scripture? I am so thankful for that. But when we're in the flesh, there are voices of accusation that begin to dominate. There are, oh, you did this. You are this horrible act that you did. You didn't do it. You are it. You with me? Voices of accusation. The flesh is also performance-oriented. It's about what I do. What I do. I'm doing this stuff for God. Therefore, you better answer this prayer about nice weather next week. I earned it. I earned it. He better hear this prayer because I've earned it. I've been faithful. There's always some level of performance orientation. And because of that, God's love can be gained and lost. It can be gained and lost because it's performance oriented. So when I'm doing good, I'm living in God's love. When I'm doing bad, I may have lost some of it. And so it's a very unstable relationship. We need to prove our value or our worth. That's what the flesh does. My worth, my value, I've got to prove it. I don't live from it, I live for it. Have you ever met someone with a chip on their shoulder? Like, dude, relax. Amen? Have you ever had a chip on your shoulder? I know I have. Right? It's I need to prove my value. Because there's something in me that cannot find a sense of value apart from some external validation other than God. That's the flesh at work. That's the mindset of the flesh. Here's the problem with the flesh. It ends up being a primary focus on self. See, you can focus on yourself and be very egotistical. And we always think, well, that's what the selfish person looks like. They're egotistical. They kind of have an arrogant way about them. But you can be just as focused on yourself and have a victim mentality, a poor me mentality. You can. Just, you know, when we're living in these comparisons, we're living in the flesh and we're living in this insecurity in our relationship with God, we can just focus on who we're not all the time and our failures and our shortcomings. But guess what? It's still a preoccupation with self. And when we're looking and focused on ourselves, we're not looking at God and we're not looking at others. We see ourselves as God's employees instead of God's son or daughter primarily. Now, I believe God does call us to be a co-laborer with him. But when you read the New Testament, you know what God calls you way more? Son or daughter. That's your primary identity. God doesn't need us, church. He doesn't need what we can offer him. He invites us into his work for our relationship. He doesn't need my gifts. He gives me gifts because they're meant to bring me closer to him and you closer to him. It's like when we were kids in elementary school and you went to work with mom or dad. The point wasn't like, hey, man, mom and dad are really getting blasted at work. They could use some help here. Like, no. When you're in third grade, I don't think you're that helpful to them, right? I think you probably lowered productivity for that day. But you know what? Your relationship was better. And in this world, man, God invites us. He says, man, go make disciples, serve, do these great things. And I think many times, as far as a Christ, we don't necessarily always hire God's productivity in the world. We might bring it down. But God invites us into it for the relationship. We are his son and his daughter. We're insecure in God's love, and there's constant inner condemnation and shame. So, church, that's, I think, a bit of what the mindset on the spirit looks like, or on the flesh, I'm sorry, looks like. It's not always that you're just making these horrible, obviously bad decisions. It's that we're not receiving the power and the message of the gospel into our lives. Paul says it produces death. Now, let's talk about the spirit. Because the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So when I find my heart drifting from the reality and the power of the gospel, and I start getting insecure in my relationship with God and maybe before others, that's an indicator that I need to recenter, I need to refocus my mind on the truth and the power of the gospel. Because the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So what does this mindset look like? Well, number one, it's completely dependent on what God has done in Jesus for salvation. Church, we all have to pray and we all have to work towards making Jesus the treasure of our hearts. That's where real spiritual power and transformation is. All these other things, they have a place in our lives, but they're not going to fulfill your soul. And they're not going to shape your soul and my soul the way that it needs to be shaped. Christ is our joy. Christ is our happiness. Christ is our strength. Christ is our hope. And when my heart begins to really believe that, that's the mindset on the spirit. was like, yeah, I want to do good. I want to have a great career, but I don't want to have that above what I'm looking for and looking to find in Jesus. You with me? Because Christ has what we need. So we're completely dependent on it. We live from salvation, not for it. We live from salvation. I want you to know, if you are committed to Jesus today, God cannot love you an ounce more than he does right now. The full countenance of his love rests on you today through Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. And many times, as followers of Jesus, we have to learn to live from the place of salvation, not live for it. Like there's something more to get, to prove, to earn. No, you have God's love. Live from that place of strength. Because guess what? Then you'll be able to give love much better to other people. You cannot give what you don't have. And many times as followers of Jesus, we try to give love and we try to give help and we try to give strength. But if our heart is not saturated in the gospel, we're going to have to be wringing it out of a dry cloth and it's going to be very, very difficult. But when you are filled with the fullness of God, man, then we have something beautiful to offer to those around us. Live from it, not for it. What does it sound like? The mindset of the Spirit, voices of love, assurance, and freedom. What does it sound like? It sounds like Romans 8:1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the voice of God in the gospel to you. That's the voice of God in the gospel to you. No condemnation. Now, I know your mind's saying, but what about this? What about that? Is that really true? Is that really? No. There is no condemnation. There is no lien against your property, against your soul. Through. That's why the gospel is good news. That's why it's good news. That's why they're like, hey, what should we name this thing? Decent news? Like, you know, good condition? No. Good news! Because it is. All right. Focus on the work of Jesus and the internal work of the Spirit. When the mindset on the Spirit, when my mind is set on the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you, and he will point your attention back to Jesus again and again and again. He will point your attention again and again to what God wants to do. I was talking to my counselor this week, and I was asking him, about like just life situations, and I was explaining them, and he wasn't like giving me any advice. Like, man, I pay you like $100 an hour. Like, tell me what to do. You know, that's how this whole thing is supposed to work. And he wasn't doing it. So I said like, well, what should I do? Like A or B? Like just kind of that's how. Don't sometimes you just want a general in life that just tells you exactly? Yeah, it doesn't work that way. But then. So then here's what he said. He's like, it doesn't matter. Again, I'm paying you $100 an hour. This does matter. He said, no, what matters is what God is trying to do in you right now. And that's where your focus needs to be. And immediately as he said that, I was like, I knew he's 100% right. Like, yeah, what is God doing in me? So the outcomes don't matter. But what God wants to do in you, that's what matters. The mindset on the Spirit. See, we're freaking out. We're focusing on all these outcomes in our lives, church. And what the Spirit does is that, hey, I'm using these circumstances because I want to get into your soul. You're focusing on this, but I want to focus on who you are becoming. I want to focus on your soul and forming it into the image of Jesus. And the Spirit brings us to those places and points us to Jesus. One great preacher says, for every time you look at yourself, take 1,000 looks at Jesus. I think that's good advice. Hard to do, but I think that's good advice. Here's the mindset on the Spirit. We're deeply secure in the love of God. Therefore, we have no one to oppress and nothing to prove. Today, church, you have no one to impress and nothing to prove. If the love of God rests on you through the gospel, then isn't that enough for a fulfilled life? Isn't that enough? if nothing else goes the way we want it to, but we end our life and the Father says, welcome home. Because my Son took your place and loves you. Here's a seat at my table. Aren't we good to go? Aren't we good to go? Like, what really matters beyond the eternal acceptance and love of God? And the gospel gives that to us freely. We identify primarily as God's son or daughter. Through the gospel, you are adopted into God's family. You are his son, you are his daughter. With all the rights, privileges, inheritance, all of that through the gospel. And when our mind is set on the Spirit, we reject the voices of inner condemnation. We know that they are not from the difference, from the voice of God. Now, and then the last point, the mindset on the Spirit understands the difference between conviction and shame. And don't miss this, church. God is going to challenge you, right? That's what a good father does. He calls out the best in us. That's conviction. Conviction has an element of hope to it. Conviction is, hey, this is the wrong way, but here's a better way. Conviction is born out of love. Shame is paralyzing. Shame is not, there's no hope to it. Shame is a dead end. And God's Spirit convicts us, but he does not shame us. Because Jesus took your shame. And he took my shame once and for all. And so the mindset on the Spirit understands the difference. Now, what Paul says is, if it's a mindset on the Spirit, we can never do this mindset alone. We need God's help. If you and I, if we want to have a life-giving mind, we need to learn to partner with the Spirit of God that lives in each of us. And we need to learn to understand his voice and his work and his presence and his promptings. And we need to learn to be dependent on him to help us return again and again and again to the truth of God's love through the gospel of Jesus. You with me on this? And we need to learn to grow that relationship with the Holy Spirit in you and in me. So how can we begin today? Well, I just want to begin with Romans 8, verse 1. I just want to begin with this point. Can I say it again? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul's Romans 7, he's talking about this struggle. He's disappointed. He's having a hard time. He's like, how can this be? And then where does he go? Therefore, there is now no condemnation. I want you to know, God does not hold anything against you today through Jesus Christ. There are not grudges. There are not liens. He doesn't smile to you face to face and then talk behind your back because he's passively aggressive towards you. None of that. And that's not just true for today, church. That's true forever. That's true forever. Like, well, Chet, well, what if I do something really stupid? Oh, you will. Let me just relieve you. You will. Yeah. Might be this afternoon. I don't know. You will. What if I stumble? What if I fall away in my faith? You'll struggle. Yeah. You will. But guess what? You will still live under no condemnation. You still will. You still will. Well, Chat, well, that's one good deal. It's good news, isn't it? It's good news. Yeah, that's the gospel. That's the love of God. Now, it came at a tremendous price. It came at the cost of Jesus on the cross. It's free for you, But it wasn't free for the Trinity. The cost was incredible. And Christ gives us that reality. So here's what I want you to do today. I want you to begin to live in that reality. Here's what I mean. I don't know if you're like this, but sometimes it always seems to be like when I'm winding down and around bedtime, sometimes some of the worst decisions I've ever made will be like a movie going on in my mind. Anybody else get like that? And I'll just feel it, my gut. It's not all the time, but it happens. It happens. And there'll be memories and they haunt me with shame. Anybody? Y'all gotta help me out here, man. I'm feeling really messed up today. And they fill me with shame. And they make me want to hide. Make me want to, I don't know, just like crawl under a rock or something. And that's when I need the mind set on the Spirit. It says, Chad, that's true. It's true. His memories aren't fake. But there's something even truer than that. Remember that cross, that tomb? Remember your Savior's outstretched arms? Chad, those are true, but that shame is gone. Learn from it, but the shame is gone because there is now, therefore, no condemnation. See, in your life and in my life, there will always be two worlds colliding. It's the world of our minds, and it's the world of the gospel. It's the world of the gospel. It's the reality that Jesus has created for us. You won't always know the difference because many times the world of our own mind, it feels like the more real world. No, I am those things that I've done. I am those memories that haunt me. Those are more defining to me than all this other stuff, the struggle that I'm in right now. That's who I really am. That's the voice of our own world. But that voice is not reality. Church, that's a virtual reality. It's not real. The real reality is the one that Jesus created through the gospel. And in that world, when you've given your life to Jesus, you stand under no condemnation because of Jesus' great sacrifice and resurrection. That's the real world. And so what we have to do is we have to allow God's Spirit to constantly bring us from our world, which feels more real, to the world that feels less real, but is actually the real world. It's the world that Jesus has created. The world that Jesus is creating. And I just have to believe that some of us have been trying to bring into the old world all this baggage that doesn't have a place in the new world. And today, I want to call you to leave it behind. To leave it there. There's not a place for it in the new world. And I want you to thank Jesus every day that you can leave it there. That it can be there and it can be done. And that's that. And now, there is a future ahead because what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. The gospel is good news. You know you're getting close to it when it feels good news. When you're like, that's good news. That's good. That's the gospel. That's what Christ has done. And all glory and honor be to him for it. Let's pray. Father, we cannot say thank you enough for the sacrifice that you've given us, for what you've done through the gospel, Lord. I know my words have fallen short of its powerful, of its holy, of its transforming reality. And so, Lord, where my words fell short, I pray your Spirit would make your love real to our hearts right now in this moment. Church, I want to ask you just to take a moment. And I want you to just pray right now in your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, make the love of God through the gospel real to me right now. And just personally, could we all just invite God's Spirit to help make the truth of the gospel feel as real as the things in our life, the challenges in our life. Holy Spirit, we just invite you. To affirm, to teach us, to show us, to bring the reality of no condemnation into our hearts right now. Help us to see the cost of those words, your broken body, your outstretched arms, the mocking, the injustice. Help us to see it as a great sacrifice of love. Father, help us then to offer ourselves to you fully in this moment right now. Make it all real to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.